This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Awesome. So bump your neighbor and say, Vision 2022. Vision 2022. Some of you seem a bit surprised that we're in 2022. We are. But, for some of us, it's already been a long year. So vision. Vision is the ability to see. And sometimes we can only see a certain distance. And then we need aids and implements to see further. And I think there's a slide there of one of those. What do they call these things? In America, I think they call them tower scopes. They put them on top of kind of tall buildings like the Empire State Building. And then you can go and it's a coin-operated thing and you can put your money in. And then I think you can kind of scan the horizon and see really far. And on holiday this year, we were up at Plett. And the one day we decided to go to this restaurant, which was at what they call the Kierboomstrand, so Kierboom's Beach. And there is this supposedly fancy or famous restaurant, not very fancy, but quite famous, called Enrico's. Okay, it's an Italian place. And so we'd kind of heard from the camping folk and the place where we go camp every year, you need to kind of drive the 20 minutes and go and have a pizza at Enrico's because it is amazing. Well, I can honestly tell you the best pizza I've ever tasted in my life is called the Enrico's Special at Enrico's. It was so worth it. It's the best pizza, in my opinion, in South Africa, probably the most expensive pizza in South Africa and possibly even in the world. But I sucked it up and paid the money and ate my pizza. And we had this amazing day. But if you've been there before, it's really built around the view. It's got this kind of deck and these chairs. And I think they've expanded it. And so you face out towards the sea. And at the end of their deck, they've got one of these things. They've got one of these binoculars on a stand. And Christina ran up to it, my daughter. She ran up to it, and they kind of instinctively kind of knew what to do, except I don't think we had coins or it didn't work. So we couldn't really, it was just black. But I told her that if you pay your money, you'll be able to see really far out to sea. And so this morning, I want to speak to us about the ability to be able to see further than this day through the help of the Holy Spirit. What I mean by that is when we as Christians come together, we often trust the Lord for a word prophetically. See, prophecy is exactly that what happened now, where Christ is, the spirit of prophecy is. And so we, in a sense, real time, some of us prophesied over Sion's life. And like Melisa confirmed, doesn't always happen, but quite often it happens that the words tie up. And that's the ability to see into Sion's life or into a person's life or even into our year, into 2022, through the unction of the Holy Spirit and through the help of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to say to us, it is actually possible to get a sense of what the Lord wants to do later on in this year, but to do that, we kind of need to take off our natural spectacles and, in a sense, walk up to a machine like that in the Spirit. I'm speaking metaphorically now. And say, Holy Spirit, help me to see what you have in store for this year, for me, and corporately for us as a church. Because I tell you, I've been around a little while, and I've had years where I kind of just stumble into a year and, you know, it's January and then it's February. And when you wipe out your eyes, you're middle of the year. And when you click your fingers, it's October, November. And sometimes it feels like a year happened to you. And it's like it kind of just kicked you around a little bit. And I actually want to say we should happen to a year. We should happen to a year through the Holy Spirit. And what I mean by that is we actually need to take the gift of a year and say, Lord, what do you want me to do this year? Help me to see beyond today, tomorrow, next week, and help me to plan, even if I need to pencil in the calendar, but help me to get a sense of what you have for my time. See, the Bible says that in Psalms, it speaks about teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I want to say to you, one of the most precious things that you have in terms of resources is not money. Money helps. But the thing that really, really is really special, and the thing that you need to cherish and look after and steward and pray into and trust for prophetic insight for, is your time. And so I want to encourage you, if you haven't consecrated 2022 to the year yet, then you're in the right place this morning, because that's what we're going to do. We are going to individually and corporately consecrate this year to the Lord, and we're going to ask Him, through the help of the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help us see what you see, so that we may hit the mark this year, that we may not kind of stumble and fall and kind of miss the mark too many times, but really be in line with the Holy Spirit. You see, Ephesians 2 speaks about, it's a wonderful chapter in the Bible, but in Ephesians 2 verse 10, Paul is saying to the church in Ephesus, he's saying, he's speaking into their identity, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's an incredible scripture. It means God has a plan for your life. Okay, John 10 verse 10 says, it's to give you life and life in abundance. Devil also has a plan for you. It's not a good plan. You don't want to follow his plan. But Jesus has an amazing plan. And it's amazing that it's nearly, I think Jolene said it the other day, it's like our spirits have been existing for eternity with God. And at some point he wrapped the body around us and he said, okay, now it's your shot. Now it's your innings. Go and get them. Knock them out. Probably got 70 or 80 years if it goes well. And so we're it now, people. This is our innings. This is our time. And I want us to really hold on to every day, and every morning we need to wake up and say, the gift of another day is here. Some of us actually wish our lives away. And I understand some of us don't have amazing lives right now, and a lot of us sitting here this morning have challenges and giants and mountains and financial pressures and marriages that are falling apart. I'm aware of that, and so some of us want to go to bed and not wake up tomorrow morning. We're aware of all those things. That's what I preached into last week, that we serve a God of hope and that he can turn any situation around. But what I want to say to us is we need to wake up with a sense of purpose, because God is a God of purpose. God doesn't, you know, make us and then kind of, oh, goodness, I probably need to work out something for them to do. Let's gather around angels and let's, you know, work out a job spec for them. No. Before the foundation of the world, he thought us up and he dreamed us up. And he wrapped us around a purpose. And he says, we are his workmanship, his poem, his poema. We are his poem. And we created in Christ. For good works. Let's just say this all together. I'm created in Christ for good works. You're created for good works that God prepared beforehand, that in 2022, you should walk in them. There are good works that are stored up for you that God has a plan for you for this year. It's a good plan because his word says so. We just need to figure out what is that plan. And God loves it. You know, God, he knows we can only see real time right now. We can't see what he sees. God sits above time. He's not limited by time, but he can see what you're going to do tomorrow, in May, in June, in December. In 20 years, he can see all of that. And what he loves is for us, who can only see here, to come and say, Holy Spirit, who is God? Holy Spirit, help me to see what you see. And help me to align my heart to your heart. Because the thing that often trips us up when we start missing God in terms of these good works and these purposes is when our hearts are not aligned to God's heart. And this is the age-old thing. Our hearts chase after other things. Much of the Bible is about God through his prophets calling his people back and say, get your heart aligned to my heart. And when that happens, often through a bit of pain and us reordering, I think Stephen spoke about prioritizing. It's about us saying, okay, Lord, that thing that I allowed myself to get so passionate about in terms of my time and my money and my attention and my mind time. You know, when you got an idol, it's when you think about a lot of stuff, it consumes you. God wants us to be consumed by him. And he wants us to wake up in the morning with a sense of purpose, like, Lord, how is your kingdom going to come through my life today? And every day we need to pray and say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Through everything I do, everyone I interact with today, his kingdom must come, because I tell you, life is short and time is running out. So we've got to live with an urgency. We've got to live with a sense of purpose. But to do that, we need to have a sense of what God is saying to us. And so this morning, I'm just in a few minutes, in about 15, 20 minutes, I'm going to share with you what I feel God wants us as this local body, as Shofar Franschhoek, to engage in. It could be that we missed one or two things, but this has been coming for a while. And so we've been praying over kind of a number of months, and I've got a kind of a sense. Sometimes you've got to just kind of step out in faith, say, hey guys, this is the vision. Let's go for it. And it can be that there were tweaks along the way. If COVID taught us anything, it taught us to be flexible. Okay. Last year, I didn't have a calendar. Okay. I'm Mr. Calendar. Okay. But I think 2020 gave us such a hiding that I thought, you know what? I'm not going to plan a camp, because everything is changing, not every month. It's changing like every week. And we just kind of held things really loosely. And we're still doing that, but it's as if we are kind of getting a bit more of a grip on the year this year. And the thing was, last year was just as special for me spiritually, even though it felt at times like, Lord, what are we doing next week? Because I like to do sermon series, you know, like there've been times that like in March, the whole preaching roster is worked out till December, you know, but all of that, you know, is great, but the Lord wants us to be flexible and to seek him and to kind of hold all these things loosely. So let me just share with you a couple of things that I feel the Lord is holding for us collectively. Remember, this is collectively. You got to go and seek the Lord around your good works, your personal good works. It's different for everyone. And I can't tell you what that is. You got to seek the Lord around that. But us as a church, these are the things that I felt, Jolene and myself and the elders will be familiar with these things. But the first thing that I believe the Lord wants us to experience this year is fun, okay? Does anybody say amen? Amen, okay. And when I say fun in the context of fellowship, okay? Fellowship, everyone say fellowship. Okay, so fellowship is not two fellows in one ship, okay? Fellowship is something that is so godly, that is so on God's heart. We think, you know, the Lord is with us on Sundays and then he stays here when we're going to have our braai afterwards. I can tell you, he's probably already lit the fire, okay? Because he designed fellowship and he has instructed us, in fact, through the Gospels and specifically through Acts. The book of Acts, he's spoken to us. Look at this amazing scripture here, Acts 2, verse 42. And it speaks about the birth of the church. And Peter's just preached, and a couple of thousand people have just come into the church. And then Luke writes Acts, and Luke describes the lifestyle and the happenings of the church. What did the first church do? What were their core values, their core things? And there were about four of them. And the first thing is, let me read it. They continued steadfastly. Everyone say steadfastly. Okay, this is what they did. Steadfastly in doctrine. Okay, doctrine in the teaching of the word. Fellowship. Breaking of bread and in prayers. We're going to have communion at the end. But fellowship is probably one of the most underrated things of church life. And there's something that happens when believers come together and they're just together. It's the way that God's designed it. Sometimes you want to plan everything and you want to kind of work out everything, but sometimes there's something amazing that happens through the spontaneous coming together of God's people. It's like it just attracts the Holy Spirit. Have you ever just like been to a party or a tea or a small group or something or church or anything? You say, you know what, I wasn't going to go, but I'm so glad I went because, you know, that lady, she prayed for me, or that brother, you know, he encouraged me and he gave me a word. And you know what? It's actually changed my day and my week, and I'm going to hold on to it. You didn't know it. He probably didn't know it, but God knew it. But you needed to come together. So coming together is really, really important. And I mustn't get sidetracked because there's another sermon about why church and why, you know, we can preach 5 sermons around it. But the word actually says in Hebrews, don't neglect the coming together of the saints as some of you have done. Because there's something that happens when we come together like this. I know we've been through a difficult year or two, but I want to encourage you, you know, all risks taken into account. It's really important for the body of Christ to come together. An online church is great. I mean, we're the first ones to support it and get it going. But I want to tell you, online church is a supplement. Your main meal, it's coming together. It's eyeball to eyeball. At the moment, we're doing chicken wing to chicken wing. You know, it used to be handshake to handshake. It's God's design for his people to come into proximity with one another in fellowship. Amen. Amen. Okay. So, there are a lot of opportunities for us to experience fellowship. I just shared one a few minutes ago, the camp. The camp is a wonderful opportunity. And I realize when I say camp to some of you, some of the ladies freak out because you had some bad school camp experience. And I understand that, okay? But there's something special that happens when people eat together. I call a food people glue. You know, when we have a meal together, there's something that amazing. So I want to really encourage you. The camp is not just about the super tube. The camp is about the unexpected conversations that you will have in a bathroom, around a campfire, I don't know, while you are in a paintball team fighting for your life. There are amazing things that's going to happen when we come together. So use these opportunities, church, to fellowship with one another. We're going to have church picnics, I think, on the 6th of February. There's a church picnic that's also happening. And we'll be having a great carnival vibe here with jumping castles and the whole deal, you know. But again, come out for that and support that. There are many things that you can get involved with fellowship. The number one place where you will experience fellowship is in small group, okay? I nearly want to say this is team talk on Sunday. Life happens in the context of a smaller group. And again, this is a sermon or 3 year, but I can share testimony after testimony after testimony of personal breakthroughs that we've had in the context of a small group and say, hey guys, we're struggling, please pray for us. And so I really, really want to encourage you, if you are not in a small group, come speak to Jolene and myself afterwards. We will get you into one in about a half a second. And I want to encourage you that those that are a little bit inconsistent in their small group attendance, really, a small group is not a shofar idea. In fact, in the biblical model of church, they probably met in smaller groups than this because just of the size of the buildings. And so they often moved from house to house, which is technically our small groups. So small group is really, really important. I want to encourage you. It's in many ways the lifeblood, the lifeline of church, where we actually open up on Sundays. You know, there's 30 seconds with somebody over a cup of coffee and a cookie, but on a Wednesday night, you have a few minutes to say, this is what's going on in my heart. This is what's going on in my business. This is what's going on in my marriage. Please, guys, cover me. Pray for me. This is what's going on. So those are 3 opportunities that you can experience fellowship in. Number 2, a focus area. So Who knows that we're starting a healing center this year? Okay. Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah. So when we came back from holiday, it's, you know, when you've been away for a while and it's like you're kind of out of your environment and you kind of, you know, you're kind of relaxing a little bit and then you come back and you drive in here and you see this building and you see that roof and you get a lump in your throat and you're like, what did we do this year? Why did we say we're going to do this? You know, and how are we going to do this? And where are the people going to come from? And where, you know, where's everything going to come from? And I found myself just for a second, like catching a little bit of a speed wobble. Again, luckily the Lord sent me some encouragement through some of the members in church. And I can myself vinnig reggeruk. And you know, when you get a hiding through the word of God, it's actually quite a wonderful experience. I don't generally enjoy hidings, never did at school either. But you know, sometimes when you feel like you got a bit disciplined by the word of God, you actually feel better afterwards. And I had one of those experiences as I was having my little speed wobble. And there's this amazing section in Mark 8 where Jesus he's just done amazing miracles. He's just taken a few fish and loaves and he's fed thousands of people. And they get into the boat, Jesus and the disciples, and they cross over to another side. But the disciples forget to bring provisions and they just bring one bread. And Jesus kind of asks them the question, you know, did you only bring one loaf? And they're like, yeah, that's it, you know. And then Jesus goes into a strange teaching around beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. And then they kind of misunderstand Jesus and they talk to one another and they say, is he kind of tuning us because we only brought one bread? And then Jesus, you know, speaks into their conversation. And let me just read this for him. And he kind of rebukes them. And he says, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said to him, 12. Also, when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. And so sometimes Jesus will ask us, do you not remember? Do you not remember what I've done for you? Do you not remember when your knees were shaking and you said, let's extend the church? How the money came in just in time so that we could have spread out COVID services and not have to have multiple services. And do you not remember that within a few hours, literally after you launching the healing center to the church, there was already a commitment for nearly all the money? Do you not remember? And I found myself, oh Lord, I repent. I'm so sorry. You can fix a roof. You can bring the people. You can do anything. You've already fed the 4,000 and the 5,000. I'm ready, Jesus. Let's do it. And so sometimes the word just does that to you, and it just gently reminds you. And it's like Jesus saying, "Hey, come on now. Don't catch a speed wobble. Look what I've done. Just look behind you. Okay, thank you, Lord. I'm ready. Here we come, giants. Here we come, valleys. Whatever's lying ahead of me." And so I want to encourage you that I am so excited about the healing center because I know God is in it. I don't know exactly how it's going to happen. We've got more or less of an idea. But I just want to encourage you. God has got a plan, not for Shofar, not even for Franschhoek. He's got a plan to renew and to revive and to bring rejuvenation of spiritual lives. The prophecies that are just going on and on and on. People will worship in the streets here in Franschhoek. People will worship in this valley. I told you I've already spoken to the pastors in Paul and Wellington. I said, I'm getting you in the middle. And they're bringing the fire from that side and the fire is going to come from this side. We're not bringing it, but God is bringing it. And we're really trusting the Lord to shift people's hearts and to make him hungry for it. He's done it in the past. I've preached a 4 or 5 part sermon to you on past revivals all over the world and in South Africa. He can do it again. And he can only do it, not through good preaching, not through eloquent speech, but through his Holy Spirit. And we're just sensing in the Spirit, it's coming, it's coming. So get ready. Along with that, words that have been coming for us is just the importance of worship. That's why we'll carry on pushing through in worship. I've shared those prophetic words with you. There's a slide that shows kind of our prophetic areas. And then healing. Healing is the thing that came last year, and Jolene preached into this amazingly as well. And so that's why, one of the main reasons we said, okay, Lord, let's start a healing retreat center. And I just want to remind you of the five focus areas. Number one is relational healing. Okay, relational healing is anybody that's struggling in relationships, marriages that are falling apart, divorce care, anything that's going on relationally, we're going to minister into that. We minister into emotional healing, your traditional inner healing. That's childhood traumas. Man, the number of stuff that happens to people by the time they're 30 years old is just the average person, the imperfections that they just face in life. You know, we all need healing. Jolene and I go through inner healing every year. And so we've been ministering really hard into that last year. Physical healing, we're trusting the Lord to touch people physically. We've seen the Lord do amazing things in our midst as well. And we're trusting for that. We're going to have healing services this year. We're going to step out and say, Jesus, here we go. We're jumping, catch us. And whatever happens, happens. But we're going to step out. We're going to obey the word. And we're going to take it at face value that these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will lay their hands on the sick. And they will recover. We take the Bible at face value. And we believe it. And if we have to have egg on our faces for a couple of months, I'm willing. You can throw the eggs. But I'm going to pray until the Lord starts healing people. Because I tell you, that's what his word says. And financial healing is something we're going to be ministering into as well. We just generally experience that people actually experience a lot of trauma in their finances because they simply don't know what the Bible says. And so we've got people like Derek and John Armstrong and a whole bunch of other that are ready to minister into that. And I tell you, we went through financial healing about 8 years ago. And it's not like there was anything wrong with our finances. We just didn't know a couple of really amazing tools. And we made some fundamental changes. And I can tell you, the spin-offs and the benefits when you obey the principles of the Bible around your finances are amazing. But you need healing. And so we're going to start a healing course for that. And purity, we've been ministering into that. We had a Men of Purity course, I think between 30 and 40 men towards the end of last year. And the men that are here this morning will know just how much the Lord did in that time. And we're going to be consistently ministering into that because that is something you kind of need to keep one another accountable. And so I'm very, very excited about that. So just to give you a heads up around how the year is going to look, the first few months of this year in terms of the healing center is very much going to be around the refurbishment. On the 17th, the roof teams arrive and they're going to be on the roof. I'm also going to be on the roof for about 2 weeks. And we're going to look for every hole we can find. And you can pray for us and intercede for us. You can even go on a 40-day fast for us so that we are able to sort out that roof. And once we sorted out the roof, we can fix the inside. And we've got amazing skilled people in church like Michael who's going to be heading up our interior design team, and we're going to really try with the money that we got to steward that well and to create an incredible space there that our church can come to, that Francia can come to, that other shofar family members can come to, and eventually that the public can come to. And we'll be doing it in those phases. So the first half of this year is really about stuff happening in the natural. But the other thing that's going to be happening in a big way is we're going to be training you up as the church to be able to minister there. Remember what I said. This is not my idea. It's not Jolene's idea. It's not the elders' idea. The healing center is our project. These two buildings and their purposes are connected. And so you are also going to be spending time in there. And so I want to invite you this morning to become a part of the training process. And so we've partnered with really, really great people. Derek and Beryl Puffett from LL Ministries. I think there's a photo of them. They've been doing this for 40 years in South Africa and started up, you know, and Derek's still on the executive of the international team. And they've got about 30 centers all over the world that does healing centers. And Derek and Beryl are so excited for the Franschhoek Healing Center. And so they're just standing ready to help us and to train us. And so we've booked them from the 10th to the 12th. It's a Thursday night, a Friday night, and a whole Saturday. And then Derek and Beryl will be ministering on that Sunday morning as well. But I want to invite you, come and get equipped. We're going to be starting with the basics. And the basics is, Holy Spirit, I'm a conduit, help me. We can read a whole lot of books and we will, but I tell you, the thing that brings the breakthrough is the Holy Spirit. When he comes into ministry sessions and he just opens up things that you had no idea how to open up and where to start. And so we're really going to approach ministry at the Healing Center, Holy Spirit-led ministry. And just basic skills like good listening, good communication skills. Those are all the things we're going to be doing in that first training session. Then we're going to be doing a second training session that we've got some resources, great training videos that Jolene and I will be facilitating from a US-based ministry called Nothing Hidden Ministries. You would have already heard we've been using some of their stuff in the marriage course. But they do great, great training. And a little bit more in-depth in terms of inner healing. And so we're going to be doing training. I think the date is there, the 8th and the 9th of April. We'll be doing that. And then there will be a third training opportunity probably before June. And I'm working on something really special there. So kind of just keep an ear out for that that training. So that is in terms of the Healing Center. That's focus area number two. So number one was fellowship. Number two is the Healing Center. It's a big, big focus area for 2022. And then I just got three more that I'll be sharing in a lot shorter time. The third one is our kids' church. Okay, Jolene's already spoken a lot into that. And I can tell you, I just so agree with her. It's not a babysitting club. The same Holy Spirit that we expect to move in this venue moves in that venue. Okay. And I can tell you, man, I wish that I had the same children's church as these kids are getting. The same commitment, the same teachers that are just praying and preparing their lessons. There's something so special that can happen in a child's life. They speak about the 4-14 windows. Anyone heard of the 4-14 window? It's an age group between 4 and 14. I can't remember the exact percentage, but it's high. It's something like high 70s, 80%. Between the ages of 4 and 14, nearly 80% of people make their commitment for Christ. So when do we need to reach people? Over there. Okay, that's when the gospel gets preached. If you just look at the stats and the shape of the curves, it dramatically tapers off as we get older, get more cynical, and we get hard towards the gospel. And I can tell you, I don't want to know. I got saved when I was 15. But I don't want to know where I would have been today if I didn't get plucked into the kingdom at that age. And obviously, it's the goodness of God that leads us. But somebody's got to need to preach the gospel. Somebody's got to get crayons out. Somebody's got to create a vibe there. Somebody's got to pray for the kids. Somebody's got to create a worship environment for them to encounter God. And so that's what we do. We're creating worship encounters, God encounters, Holy Spirit encounters on that side. It's not a Bible story. It also work Bible stories, but we are trusting for the Holy Spirit to move powerfully amongst our children. And I tell you, they're the next generation. Watch our youth in about 3 years' time. You're going to see an incredible youth. We don't really have much of a youth now, but I can tell you all the effort that Jolene and Melisa and David and Adina put in years ago, it's going to bear fruit when these kids are a little bit older. And so I want to say to you this morning, we need help because our kids' church is growing. You can see we're not back to pre-COVID in here yet. Over there, we've exceeded pre-COVID numbers. We're averaging about 40 kids a Sunday now. And the volunteers, they're trying their best, but we need more people. We need men. Men like Stefan and Carl and Justin, they've jumped in. I want to encourage the rest of you. It's only every 6 weeks. And yes, you're going to have to put on your Superman suit for that day and perhaps drink your Barocca. But you know what? There's something so rewarding when you see a little face light up and you just see light in those eyes and you realize it's an amazing place to reach people. You know, we're speaking about evangelism. And we're going to do evangelism. We're going to do outreach. But little lives over there, man, they're like little sponges. And when an older guy comes in there and he just cracks a few jokes and creates a vibe, oh, man, they're just around that person. And they're just listening to everything you're saying. So get part of the kingdom coming there. Sure. Number five, I'm nearly finished. Worship. I've said to you, worship is a major thing for us. We prioritize worship in this church before Bible school, before encounters, before any event. We have worship, but not that we can sing. Singing is an expression of worship. When we worship, we acknowledge, like we did this morning, who is in our midst. As the word says, where two or more gathered, there he's in the midst of us. If the king is in the room, anything's possible. We just need to figure it out and actually believe the king is in the room. And that's why we worship, because then we acknowledge and honor and show reverence to the fact that Jesus is in our midst. Okay? And so that's why worship is important. Worship is spirit connecting with spirit. I love going beyond the songs when we run out of slides up there. And spirit starts connecting with spirit. And so that's what we have a specific call, a shofar franchuk. I'm not going to go into all those details again. But we had a prophetic word that this church will lead many people into the presence of God. And so we're going to push and push and push. And sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable. But I want to tell you, there's a place in the spirit that we need to get to in worship where anything can happen. And that's what Sunday nights are about. Some of you get very nervous when we talk about Sunday nights because, yes, it's unstructured. And it's slightly chaotic because there's not kids' church, so the kids are part of it. So it's loud and it's wild at times. And today we got flags, so it might even become slightly dangerous. Okay? But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Thank you, Liesl, for the flags. I want to encourage you, Sunday nights is where we are really pushing it in worship. And we're only a handful, and I'm not stressing because we only about 20 or 30 people at the moment. But I tell you, some nights you walk out here and you're like, wow, what was that? And God doesn't per se need numbers, but it will be great if there are more people. But there's a momentum that we are starting to pick up on a Sunday night. That's even spilling over to our other meetings as we get used to pursuing God beyond a couple of slides where we just sing together. And so I want to encourage us, church, we're going on a journey of worship and become part of that. So if you want to be in the worship team, maybe you can sing and nobody knows it. Come speak to us. We're inviting people to become part of the ministry. The multimedia ministry at the back, the heroes like Josh and Fiona, they're part of the team. We only sound as good as they decide to make us sound on a Sunday. We can practice like 10 hours the whole week, and if he decides, well, he doesn't like that, he can just mute us, you know. So if you want to feel powerful, then you want to be part of the multimedia ministry there at the back. And so that's for anybody. You don't even need to have computer skills. We'll teach you. If you just like music or if you like just wanting to serve there, please come and be a part of that. So this morning is a little bit of a recruitment process in that sense. So there we've got the worship band, and yeah, we've got Groendal Outreach. I'm going to finish in that. There we've got multimedia. There we've got the healing center. And we're inviting you to be part of Vision 2022. The last one I just want to focus on is the Groendal Outreach that Liesl has pioneered for us. And we've been reaching out into that community for a number of years. Tien's, my predecessor, really kind of started things off and really did amazing work there. And in many ways, Liesl and her team have taken that over, and so they've started a ministry on a Tuesday and a Wednesday that runs from about 9 to 11, 12. They serve the people a breakfast. They serve them a lunch. And it's not church, okay? We tried church there for a while, and that's a different story, okay? But this ministry is really, it's helping people that have had a tough time and that in many cases, you know, don't have too many options. And so we really, really are ministering love through the volunteers, and you know, it's amazing what's happening there, and the folk are coming to our services. Some of them are even here this morning, and they are blessing us now as we can just see their hearts. And I want to encourage you to become a part of this ministry. And you think you'll be going to get give something, I tell you, you'll be the one receiving something. You will be changed. You will be, as you just minister into people that that have really, really, in most cases, had a much tougher life than you have and probably didn't have parents and did not have all the opportunities and the resources that you had. And in some cases, got tripped up in the wrong things and addictions in place. And I want to tell you that their lives will change your life. And so come and be a part of it. We cannot just be a church that's insular. We cannot just remain within the four walls of this building. We need to be a church that ministers out. We need to go out. We need to share the love of Christ. And there'll be a whole lot of other opportunities, but this is one of the major, major opportunities that you can get involved with. And again, it's not every week. It's not even every month. Because we can't have a stampede also going through. The Liesl will roster the people together with us, and we'll get a sustainable roster going. But get ready to get, you know, to roll up your sleeves and get involved in people's lives. And so in closing, as the ushers hand out the communion, I want us to go to that last slide, please, Fiona. So the question that we're holding before you, and perhaps the question that you can ask yourself this morning is, okay, Pastor Richard, Vision 2022, you shared 5 or 6 things. Does that mean all the other things that we've shared in the previous years don't count? No, we still carry on with all of that. I'm just saying that when I go and stand in front of the binoculars and I, in my best ability through the help of the Holy Spirit, try and look through 2022 for our church, this is what I see. This is what we see. And so I want to invite you this morning into the journey, the collective journey of our church around these 5 or 6 focus areas. And I want to encourage you that there is a glory. There is a glory in serving the body of Christ. Okay? You need to stay with me. I know they're handing out things, but this is the punchline. Okay? We don't necessarily need you, okay? Jolene and myself, if you leave us alone, we're workaholics. We'll do everything unless people tell us, can we help you, okay? So we enjoy doing stuff, okay? But it's not godly and it's not biblical for myself and Jolene and the elders and the small group leaders to do everything in church. Because God's design is for the whole team to play, okay? Again, I said to you, I can preach 3 sermons around why church and why it's important and why Paul connects it to a body and connects it to a building. We're all a brick. We're all a body part. But God's design is that you are involved in church, okay? To be involved in church, you need to come to church. Amen? Amen. 3 amens. Can I give like about 5 or 6 amen? Okay. To be involved in church, you need to come to church. Okay. I'll just leave that there. So I want us to, over the bread and wine, I want us this morning to ask the Holy Spirit, Where can I get involved in the life of this church? We've made it easy there for you. We've got a list up. Maybe the Lord is just saying to you, hey, just get into fellowship. I want you to become a regular small group attendant. I want you to visit a small group for the first time. I know we've got people sitting here this morning and never been to one of our small groups, and that's not necessarily wrong or right. I want to encourage you that fellowship happens in a special way in small groups. Maybe the Lord has stirred your heart around the healing center, and he's saying, I want to use you to minister to people. Then you need to be the one that says, I want to be trained this year. Okay, so that's maybe you. Maybe when I shared around the kids' church, you said, yes, I am going to do that once every 6 weeks. I'm going to sign up and I'm going to help there at the kids' church. Maybe it's around worship, or maybe it's around the multimedia team there that's going to help facilitate our services. And maybe lastly, it's around the Grundal outreach, and you need to come speak to Liesl afterwards and say, get me on that roster. Or maybe it's two or three of those things, or maybe it's all of those things. I don't know. And I'm not going to manipulate you. I'm not going to pump you up to do anything, because that's not sustainable. What I am going to do is I'm going to trust, as we consecrate this year, for the Holy Spirit to speak into your hearts, because I know that will last. Amen? Amen. So let's close our eyes. Lord, we thank you for this year. We thank you for 2022. We thank you, Lord, that your heart and your dreams and your desires are for good works that you prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them individually and collectively as Shofar Franschhoek. Lord, we've tried our best to look through the binoculars of your Spirit and to see what your heart and your hand would cause us to do this year, Lord. And I just want to pray, Lord, as I've shared the vision, Lord, it is you through your Spirit who connects the hearts of people to the vision. Lord, would you connect the heart of who you want to connect to whatever part of the vision you want to this morning. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us now? So let's just take 30 seconds and you just ask the Holy Spirit, where would you have me involved this year?
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.